Jeremiah 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is 1 Thessalonians 3. What thanksgiving can we return to you, to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before God, as we pray most earnestly, day, night, and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish in your hearts blameless and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is from St. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at opportune time, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of our Lord. I'd like to invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. We were talking about that, about wearing hats, weren't we? And about how sometimes it flattens your hair and sometimes it makes your hair stand up and stuff. Yes, it's okay. I love hats. Tonight, I thought we would talk about time. Like, this is what we call the children's time, right? The children's sermon. Do you know what time it is? It's the season of Advent. That's why we have blue candles and we have blue stoles and pyramids, right? Blue is the color of hope. And in the season or the time we call Advent, we wait for Jesus to come. We wait for Jesus to come. So, I thought, seeing we're going to talk about time tonight, that I would show you a couple of pictures. Do you know what this is? What is this? It's a bird. Do you know what this is? It's a bird, right? This is an owl, and this is a?
Bird.
Yeah, but the bird, this is a bird, it's an owl. This is a bird, it is a lark. This is a night owl, and this is a morning lark. Do you have a special time of the day that you love? I mean, some people are morning people. Some people are night people. They'll say they're a night owl, which means they like to stay up late, or they like to get busy and do things when it's dark outside, right? But a morning lark likes to go to bed early, get plenty of sleep, and then wake up at the crack of dawn so that it can start singing its beautiful music. Do you know what an owl says? Yeah, hoo, 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 right? Yeah, an owl, it does it hooting, but the morning lark makes beautiful music. Now, when my daughter Rachel was little, your auntie Rachel, she was a night owl. She was not a morning lark. She didn't want to get woke up in the morning. In fact, she had this platform bed, and sometimes I'd get up and I'd say, Rachel's going to be late for school. Why isn't she getting up? And Julie would say, your grandma would say, I've already tried to wake her up 3 times. I went in there, I flipped the light switch on, she'd pull the covers over her head. She did not like the mornings. But when you guys came and stayed with us for a while, every night you got your baths and your hair was wet and you had your pajamas on and you picked up some books and we read them and then you said your prayers so that you could sleep well and wake up in the morning. Get out of bed, sleepyhead, right? Rise and shine. Yes, Advent. It's a time to rise and shine, whether you're a morning lark or a night owl. Jesus says, stay awake, be alert, watch. Why? Because there's work to do. And you know what the work is that God's given us to do? To love people with the love of Jesus, and to tell them the good news of forgiveness and resurrection in the name of Jesus. So every night when you go to bed, and every morning when you get up, you know what you're practicing? You're practicing Easter. You're practicing resurrection. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Are you a night owl or a morning lark? Stay awake. I mean, there are people that fall asleep in church. There are people that fall asleep in the classroom. There are people that fall asleep when they're driving, right? And when our gospel for tonight says, be alert at all times, it's not saying that you can't ever take a nap or that you should have perpetual sleep apnea. The word is actually, stay awake, be alert for these favorable moments of God. These decisive, opportune moments. It's kind of like when people say, you know, once in a blue moon, or a 100-year flood, or you snooze, you lose. Some things don't come back around. Some things are so amazing, so awesome, that you don't want to miss them, because you may not get another chance at it. Let me give you an example of this opportune time that the Greek New Testament calls Kairos time, these special favorable moments within the chronological or linear time of Chronos. It was in Montana, And my wife and I had prepared for the birth of our first child. We took birthing classes. We were all prepared. We knew what the signs of the time would be. But it was our firstborn. And so fortunately, we had a woman in our congregation who was a nurse, and she said, well, if you'd feel better about this, why don't you come down to the clinic in Thompson Falls? The hospital was 25 miles away, and I can check you out. And she says to my wife, well, it's going to be a little while, but if you would feel more comfortable, you could drive and head down to the hospital. And we did. And when we got there, things had really progressed. But then, because time is what it is, a holy gift from God, but it's linear, chronological, with opportunity, things slowed down. And we had to wait. And we had to wait. And then I remember at about 4 o'clock in the morning, on my son's due date, May 13th, about 4 in the morning, the doctor, who was a Christian man, he comes and he says to me, David, you need to put on the hospital scrubs. It's about time. Well, life is, isn't it, this gift of time. It is about time and how the Kronos is coming into the Kairos, and the Kairos is coming into the Kronos. And in the midst of all of the clocks and calendars and the seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall, God provides opportunity. So I put the scrubs on, and we go into the delivery room, and Julie's there, and the doctor does a final look. And he says, if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's simply amazing, maybe not for the woman who is in labor, but for a father who gets to watch all this, it is amazing. Because there's signs when it's time, when the baby is in the birth canal and the head is in place, you know? And this doctor, this Christian man, he says, David, we're ready for a baby. It's time. He's talking about Kairos. He's talking about an opportunity that you don't want to miss. And so he looks at me and he says, why don't you offer a prayer? And I did. And I've never forgotten that holy, sacred, favorable moment. The signs are there, right? And so we get our firstborn child. And I thought something had happened. I mean, we were prepared. We did the classes and stuff, right, Julie? But you're not quite prepared for everything, because on the way out, our son had a bowel movement, and he has this cone head. And I thought, what in the world? The doctor said, oh, that'll go away. We'll clean him up. We'll clean him up. You see, we need to be cleaned up. This new creation that God makes of us, right? Cleaned up in Christ Jesus. And I found out that the cone head was there because the firstborn has to pave the way for other siblings that will come. Ah. You see, we got to hold our firstborn. And it was a Kairos moment, a holy, sacred time. So do you have a special time? A time that you look forward to? A time that you can hardly wait for? Have you seen that once in a blue moon, that 100-year flood? Have you seen Kairos? The time is now, Jesus says. The kingdom is here. In Jesus, the time, the opportunity has arrived. That's why Jesus in Luke's gospel says, straighten up! Straighten up and stand up and lift up your heads. The time of your redemption is near. Be ready. Be prepared. Watch. Be alert for the opportunity that God is bringing our way. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. In other words, get up, sleepyhead. Get out of bed. It was a challenge for us to do that with our daughter Rachel, because she was a night owl. You never had any problems when it was New Year's Eve. She would be up until we could say, Happy New Year! Everybody else might go to bed by 8, 9, 10 o'clock, but not a Rachel. But we were concerned that when she went off to college, there might be a problem. Because who's going to be nudging her over and over and over again, get out of bed, sleepyhead? You see? But she did okay. She did okay at college. My mother was not a night owl. In fact, she would maybe in the recliner be falling asleep during the evening news or during one of the TV shows. But she was a morning lark. She was. She'd be up at the crack of dawn or before dawn, and by the time the rest of us rolled out of bed or crawled out of bed, my mom would already have 4 or 5 loads of wash done, would already have some fresh jam made or pies made, baking done, rolls made. Simply amazing. So I don't know what time you like the best. I do like the Advent time. I like Advent because it reminds us that we are called by God to wait well for the coming of our Lord without being anxious or worried. Jesus says in our gospel, don't be filled with dissipation and drunkenness and worldly cares. But instead, wait well. Be alert to the opportunities that God is giving us every single day to share the Savior and salvation with the unsaved, to share the love of Jesus with unbelievers. Advent time, as we wait for the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a pastor, A.J., a Baptist pastor years ago out in Boston, Massachusetts. And one day, there was a small boy near the church. He saw him. He had this rusty cage, and he went out and talked to the boy and said, What have you got there? He said, Oh, I got a bunch of birds from the fields. I caught them in this rusty cage. And so Pastor AJ said, So what exactly are you going to do with those birds? They said, Well, they're not worth anything. They can't even sing. I thought maybe I would just play with them for a while, and then I would share them with our house cat. Pastor AJ said, Perhaps he saw a Kairos moment, but he said to himself, How about I buy this rusted cage and these birds from the field from you? How about I give you $2? And the boy said, Well, I'll sell them to you, but I'll tell you right now, you're not getting a bargain. They can't even sing. And so he paid the boy. The boy walked off. And Pastor AJ, he went around the church in the back by the open field area, and he opened the rusted cage, the door part, and got those birds out of there, and he said they flew off. That coming Sunday, he put the bird cage, the rusty one, right up on the altar. And as he was preaching about how it is that we wait well for the promised coming of Jesus Christ, the parousia, the advent of our God, he says, You know that our redemption comes at a price. Someone has to purchase our freedom. And the only begotten Son of God has paid and purchased our freedom from sin and death. And then he told the story of this little boy. And he said, You know, the boy said, I didn't get a bargain because they couldn't sing. But I'm telling you this, that as those ordinary birds flew off, I'm sure that I heard them sing, Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Jeremiah says, Messiah has a name. The Lord is your righteousness. So what did the redeemed do? Well, they redeemed the time. We make the most of the time because the days are evil. When St. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he's writing to people that he and Silas and Timothy preached the gospel to, but it didn't get the kind of reception they were hoping for initially. They were kind of driven out of Thessalonica. But then word came that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the seeds of faith had taken root and people had come to living faith in Jesus. And so Paul is writing a letter to them, one of his first letters, thanking God for faith in Jesus that is found in the Christians in Thessalonica. And Paul is also reminding them that we are waiting well as justified, sanctified, and glorified people of God. We are waiting well as we wait for the advent of our Lord. If we are walking as children of the day and the light. In fact, he reminds the Thessalonians, you know that you are children of the day, children of the light. I mean, whether you're a night owl or a morning lark, you are still children of the day and children of the light. And how we live makes a difference in terms of our witness to the world. St. Paul will, in chapter 4 of his first letter to the Thessalonians, say, I don't want you to be uninformed. Evidently, some of the believers had died, and Jesus hadn't returned yet, and some of the believers were wondering, well, if we die before Jesus comes back, does that mean all hope is lost? Does that mean that we forfeited our salvation? Does that mean we've got to stay alive to get the gift? And Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who have fallen asleep. Don't you love it? He says, you know that death for believers in Jesus is just taking a nap. I don't want you to be uninformed about those who have fallen asleep. In fact, those who have died in Christ are actually at an advantage. Because when the trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ returns in the cloud, because remember the one who ascends in a cloud will descend in a cloud, when he returns, those who are asleep will be raised first. And then we who are left behind to witness to the righteousness of God in Jesus will also be caught up so that we'll all be together in the clouds with Jesus, where we will meet him. And then Paul says, and be with him always. That's salvation. That's heaven. With Jesus always. And then in chapter 5, Paul will say to the Thessalonians, you know, a lot of people are afraid of the dark because they know that when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night, and a thief doesn't announce when they're coming. And some people might get frantic or worried or anxious or fearful, trepidation, huh? Paul says, but you don't have to worry about that. Don't forget, you are children of the day, children of the light. And God is faithful, and he is going to bring to completion what he has already begun in you. At the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. When I was a kid, my mom and dad, we had a nighttime ritual, and we would say a prayer. You maybe remember these words. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But some people thought, you know, you're putting kids to sleep at night. You don't want to scare them with the possibility that they could die. Heaven forbid, huh? So we decided we should maybe clean it up, sanitize it a bit, and we did. Guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. You remember that children's song? The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy. Children of the Lord. Right? Get them out of the muddy, muddy. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. Guide me safely through the night. Wake me with the morning light. That's our theme this year. Advent, Christmas, Epiphany. Joyous light of heavenly glory. Each week when we gather for Advent and we sing that evening hymn, meditate upon those words you're singing. They are rich and deep indeed. That opening hymn, it capsulizes what it means to be children of the day and children of the light, and Jesus is the light of the world. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. You know what time it is. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. You might be a night owl. Or you might be a morning lark. But by the grace of God, you are children of the light. And as you wait for the promised return of Jesus, as you wait, may this be your prayer. Guide me safely through the night and wake me up with the morning light. Amen.